We're going to learn a Hasidic discourse, a Maimer by the Friedrich Rebbe, the previous Rebbe. This is Tov Resh Tzadik, that means 1930. In 1930, the Friedrich Rebbe made a visit to the United States, and then he went back to Latvia. I think he lived in Latvia in that time. And then the Second World War started, and he had to be saved to take him back to New York, but whatever. The case is that he had a visit in New York. This discourse that we're going to learn, it's really not difficult. As far as I remember, nothing is difficult over here in a conceptual sense. However, it's a very strong discourse, basically urging the people that he was talking to keep Torah mitzvahs, to be stronger in keeping Torah mitzvahs. And I think it helps a lot to understand what's the regular, like simple maybe should be taken in quotes, but simple Torahic focus on life, basically. This discourse is actually based on a few chapters of a deeper book, which is a longer book and has more difficult parts, which is called Kuntre Sumayan. It's a book by the father of this Rebbe, the fifth Rebbe of Chabad, that talks about many, many subjects, and this discourse that we're going to learn takes like almost 5-6 chapters and puts them into one box, so to speak, and says, okay, let's learn about this. Now, the discourse was not written for Bnei Noach, clearly, but the ideas, I would say, apply 95% at least. And one more detail, and then we start. The Jewish people in the United States in the 1930s, were in a very, very low level of observance of Torah mitzvahs. It was known that if you left the old home, Europe, if you left the old home and you went to America, that's it. You're lost. Your Yiddishkeit, your Judaism is lost completely. So that's why, maybe, I'm not the Rebbe, of course, but that's why the Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe, the previous Rebbe, in many, many discourses in those years, 1940s basically, he stressed simple ideas to strengthen the people in Torah mitzvahs. To the point, this goes to the point, that when the first thing that he said when he went out of the ship that took him in 1940, actually, 10 years after this discourse, the first thing that he said when he arrived in America is, America is nicht anders. America is not different. America is not different. Don't think that because we came to America, then we don't have to keep Torah mitzvahs, things changed, cut your beard and take out your tzitzis. No. America is nicht anders. It's not different. This is the first thing that he said. So in this frame of mind, we're going to understand this discourse much easier, so to speak. Okay, let's start. Literal, simple translation, even though the Rebbe is going to give a different translation. But let's start with the simple translation. This verse is in Melachim, in the Book of Kings, when Shlomo Melech, King Solomon, built the first temple. I think it's Melachim Aleph, chapter 8, I don't remember exactly, I think it's chapter 8. He has a very long tefillah, very long prayer, like starting off the first temple. And interestingly, within that prayer, he said, God, don't just listen to the Jews, listen to the non-Jews that come to pray over here also. That's the chapter we're talking about. And by the end of the chapter, he says this phrase, Leman das, in order to be known, or people should know, Kol Amei Haaretz, simple translation, all the nations of the world, Amei Haaretz, the people of the world, they should know, Ki Avai Yehu Elokim, God is the Lord, Einoit, there's no other. That's the simple translation of the verse within the context of the chapter when Shlomo Melech is, again, starting the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're going to offer a different translation. Forget it. Completely different. Behine, now. Am Haaretz, the regular expression in Judaism, Am Haaretz, means a person doesn't know anything. Like you really, really don't even know how much is 1 + 1. You're not Am Haaretz. You're nothing. You don't know anything. So the Rebbe says, Am Haaretz, this ignorance and das and knowing, Hem Soisrim Zeh L'Zeh. These two contradictory things. Don't come to me and say that the Amei Ha'aretz, again, we just completely changed the translation of the verse. The verse was talking about the people of the nations of the world. And the Rebbe says, no, he's talking about Jews, forget it. I'm not talking about pshat, simple meaning, no. He's talking about Jews, but a specific group of Jews. Which ones? The ones that are ignorant, completely ignorant, don't know anything. And the verse is saying, oh, you know what? The people that don't know anything, they should know. What do you mean? They don't know anything, so they're not going to know either. They don't know how to learn. They don't understand anything. Don't come to me with Torah mitzvahs. I don't understand what you're talking about. And the verse is saying they should know. What do you mean they should know? They won't know. They contradict. If this person has knowledge, are they ena ma'aretz? He's not a ignorant. And if you im hu ma'aretz, and if he's an ignorant, whatever, are they ena das? Clearly, he doesn't have knowledge. How can it be that a person is completely ignorant? And we're not talking about somebody that has a tremendous brain and doesn't know medicine. Okay, you can go and learn medicine, no problem. You're a lawyer and you don't know medicine. Okay, you can learn medicine. Now we're talking about somebody has no head. Forget it. No head. The Rebbe Rashab, the father of this Rebbe, used to say that if you have a head in your shoulders, I can teach you. But if you don't have a head in your shoulder, I can't put a head in your shoulders. I'm sorry, if the material doesn't work, that's it. If your brain is like, whatever, it doesn't work, that's it. But that's what the Rebbe is asking. If this person is ignorant and really completely, he can't learn, he won't know. It's impossible. That's question number one. What's the verse talking about? There's another question that is not understood. Furthermore, you're expecting this person that cannot learn anything for whatever reason. I don't care why. But the point is, you're expecting this person to know that God is the Lord, like very deep mystical concepts and ideas, and very difficult, etc. That's what you want him to learn? It's impossible. He's an Amaretz. It's an ignoramus, whatever. V'achari kol zeh. After all this, ine hagam de yodea davai yewe lekim. And furthermore, even after he knows the mystical ideas that God is the Lord, etc., mekol makam nikra ma'aretz, it's still known as an ignorant ma'aretz. What's going on with this verse? It's a weird verse. That's what the Rebbe is actually asking. And through asking this, he's going to change completely the focus. We're not talking about somebody ignorant. No. We're talking about somebody really, really smart. Really smart. But he dedicates his life to something else. Not to Torah. To something else. Oh, to that person that is very smart. Now you can teach him. Okay? Come, let's learn, etc. Aha, inyanu, the idea is like this. The explanation is like this. Hine ha'olam toyim b'shem ha'aretz. People make a mistake when talking about the name Am Ha'aretz. Ignorant. There's a mistake over here. People call those who don't know anything of Torah, they call him Am Ha'aretz. You're ignorant. A person that can't learn because his brain is whatever, doesn't work. For whatever reason. So we call him Am Ha'aretz. In Spanish, we say burro. You're a donkey. You can't learn. It's impossible. Forget it. Nothing good is going to come out of your head. So, whatever. Keep on chopping wood. That's the best thing you can do. But the truth is, no. This is not what the verse is talking about. We're not talking about somebody that can only chop wood and for whatever reason, etc. No. The mishein yachol lilmoid nikes shem bur. A person that can't learn is called a bur. A bur is like a hole in the ground. Like, you're nothing. Your head doesn't work. Forget it. The Am Ha'aretz, so therefore, what's called Am Ha'aretz? What we used to call ignorant, we're changing this. Who's this guy? It's a person that is constantly working on business. And he's buying and selling, etc. And he's completely involved in things of the earth, so to speak, in material things, earthly matters. He brings a proof from a verse, the Choiri, which is the name of a nation. They are Yoshvei Ha'aretz. They are sitting in the earth, like they live in the earth. Ve'amru Razal, and our sages say, look in Gemara Shabbos, whatever in Rashi explains, she'ayu bekin be'yishuvo shel eretz. They were experts in, quote unquote, sitting in the earth. He's going to explain. What does it mean to be expert in sitting in the earth and living in the earth? Malekaneze adama lezeisim. This piece of land, of earth, is good to plant olive trees. Like they used to taste the earth with their mouth and say, oh, here, the best land to plant olive trees. Malekaneze, they used to taste some other place in the world of earth. The earth of that place, the Malekanezelek Fanim, this piece of earth is the best for grapes. So these people are not like Amea Aretz, ignorant people. No, wait a second. These guys taste earth and they tell you what you can do with this earth. So this is a chokhmah, it's a wisdom. They used to taste the earth and they would tell you which plant you can plant over here is going to be successful. This applies to the work of the land. That's why they are called people like sitting, quote unquote, in the earth. They were experts and they worked in, quote unquote, sitting, establishing the earth. What's the best thing to do with this piece of earth? The same thing happens with people that work with business and they buy and sell, etc., in all kinds of earthly matters. These people know, so to speak, the earth, the land. Not today, of course, in the 1930s, when the Rebbe was talking about this to these people, they probably were not people that work with the earth, with the land itself. They were probably in New York, with business and this and that. Okay, very nice. But you're still an Amaretz. You're a person that is constantly involved in earthly matters. Let's buy these actions and let's buy this talk and this, that. Okay, very nice. You're an Amaretz. Not in a bad sense. On this comes the verse and says, Leman das kol ha'aretz. Oh, these people have to know, says Shlomo Melech, King Solomon. These people have to know. That also those, Baalei Asakim is also businessmen, that's the translation, regular, that are so busy and so involved in earthly matters, they also have to know knowledge of Torah. They have to have, so to speak, knowledge of Torah. And also them, even though they're so busy, literal translation, their heart is not with them. Like they're really, really busy on business. They also can know that God is the Lord with all the mystical stuff behind it, and there's nothing else except for God with all the mystical stuff behind it, whatever it is. So now, this is chapter number one. Even though the Maimer, the discourse is divided in chapters, but they don't have any numbers. So I probably lose the count as we advance. But whatever. This is chapter number one. So we asked a few questions on a verse, and we like completely changed the focus. Forget it, we're not talking about the classical, for whatever reason, ignoramus. This guy can't learn and will never learn anything. And we're not talking about that. We're talking about very smart people. This guy is the owner of whatever, Trump Towers. This guy is the owner of half of New York. This is not stupid people, very smart people, but they're so into earthly matters that they forget about God and the Torah, etc., etc. They should know that God is the Lord. Okay. Ubiyura inyan hu, the explanation of this whole thing is the ine, if lebemeyot. It's something marvelous, something I don't understand, says the Rebbe. How come, where does it come from that a person transgresses the path of Torah and the mitzvahs, the commandments. Of course, for Jews, for non-Jews, different type of commandments and number of commandments, whatever. Where does it come from? Why would a person go against God? The Torah ksiv drachia darchenoyam. Regarding the Torah, it's written that its paths are nice paths. V'chol nesivos yasholem. All the paths of Torah are peaceful. The darchia Torah unesivos amitzes. So he divides in two parts: the path of Torah and the ways of the commandments, whatever the ways of mitzvahs. Hine milevad ze shem darech Hashem. Besides the fact that they are the path of God, the way of God, arem darke shalom, ve'orche yosher, darke shalom, they are paths, peaceful paths, ve'orche yosher, and straight paths, ve'midos b'nei adam, ve'adam l'chaveiro, in the qualities, spiritual qualities, emotional qualities between people, like don't lie, don't steal, etc., etc. That's what the Torah actually offers, so to speak. Let's be righteous. Let's be good guys. Let's be straight people. Uvemuchash anuroim, and we can see this clearly. The amisnaeg al pi Torah, that person, a person that behaves actually according to Torah, in a milvad zederuach hamakem nechemenu. Not only God is happy with you, so to speak, the spirit of God is happy with you. Aregam ruach habriyes nechemenu. Also, people around you are happy with you. This is a straight guy. This is an honest guy. So people like you. It's okay. Leo is ki kol drachav hem betzedek, because this person behaves in a righteous way. We're not talking about like a tzaddik, okay, a righteous person. We're talking about a regular person. You don't lie. You're honest. Okay. So people like you. And it's fine. Bechol asiyo isav hem beyosher, and everything that he does is straight. We see clearly that all the things around Torah and mitzvahs, commandments, are good and are sweet, even between people. It's not just for God. I'm not just a good guy because God is looking at me. No. For around people, I'm also a good guy. And therefore, where does it come from? He goes back to the same question. Zeh. Where does it come from, this fact that a person transgresses the way of Torah? Why? Like, don't you want to be a good guy? Don't you want people to like you? Why are you behaving like this? And a person not only transgresses the path of the Torah, he goes after the passions of his heart, to have pleasure in things that people have pleasure, even in permitted things. And he's going to explain very clear and simple. Hine, last line. Now, asher ha'adam me'aneg nafshoy betaynugi tafnuki bnei adam, when a person dedicates his life, basically, I'm not translating literally, but when a person dedicates and Me'aneg comes from the word oineg. Oineg means pleasure. So when you search for pleasure, and the tafnukim is also like pleasurable things of the people, like earthly pleasures, eating, drinking, etc., etc. Gam bidvarim amutarim. Even if you're talking about permitted things, like alcohol is permitted by Judaism. Okay, I'm going to drink 5 liters of vodka. Okay, you're going to end up destroyed. Yeah, but it's mutar. It's permitted. No. When a person dedicates his life to this, more than what you need to keep your body healthy, you have to eat, of course, but you have to eat as much as you need to be healthy. And this is a big chidush of, not chassidus actually, of I'll translate it in a second. What we're going to say, it's a novelty in the Jewish perspective of life. Very important thing. I think other peoples also, even not Jews, also think in some ways this way, but society today, definitely not. Definitely not. He says like this, this also, just if you get more than what you really need, this is also transgressing the way of Torah. You're not behaving And he's going to say later, not even like a human being, you're behaving even worse than an animal. He's going to say later. So again, when a person gets more of whatever it is, of the pleasures of the world, more than what he really needs, you're transgressing the Torah. The Hinei, now he says in Yiddish. Again, when the Rebbeim say things in Yiddish in the middle of a Maimar, I'll correct my explanation. When the Rebbeim spoke, they only spoke in Yiddish. Basically, some seldom times in other languages, but not a Maimar. Like a Hasid discourse, you only say in Yiddish. That's it. Now, afterwards, sometimes even before, many times before, but they used to write it down. And they wrote it down in Hebrew, because that's the language of the Maimar. But when they actually pronounced the discourse, it's in Yiddish. Now, when they wrote down certain parts of the Maimar in Yiddish, it's like saying, have this concept so clear in your mind, you have to understand this idea. Even if you don't understand Hebrew, forget it. This is Yiddish, you have to understand it. Now, the Hinei. Dos vos mitornit, tormenit. The things that you cannot are forbidden. Mitornit are forbidden. Tormenit, you cannot. Nor afilu dos vos mi megye, even those things that you can, is oich mit amos. Has to be with a measure. Has to be with a measure. Dos vos esis im muchrach letzerich yum gufui. What's the measurement? That which you need to sustain your body. It's okay. If you need it, go ahead. It's fine. There's another phrase. It's not directly related to this Maimar. It's not going to appear in the Maimar. It's a very Hasidic, famous Hasidic saying, in Chabad at least. Dos von metornit, tormenit. That which you cannot, you can't. Dos vos men meg, yeah, that which you can, darf man nit, you don't need. Okay, you don't need it either. Okay, let's move on. Un merer tormenit, more than that, more than what you really need, no, you can't. It's forbidden, so to speak. Al pi toira, mechuyav kol adam lekadesh atzmoy v'mutar lo. According to the Torah, every single person is obligated to sanctify himself, whatever, even in those things that are actually allowed. He brings a proof for this, because it's actually an argument between the sages, and Hasidus, Chabad at least, goes with one idea, so to speak, one of the opinions, like the Sefer HaChinuch says, the Book of Education, it's a very interesting book. This, we're talking about a commandment from the Torah, literally, to sanctify yourself, even in those things that are allowed. And also the Tanya says the same thing in chapter 30. Okay. The only thing that is allowed is that which you need to sustain your body. That's fine. But let's go to the next level. All right, I need this food to sustain my body. Let's like objectively speaking, I need this food to sustain my body. Very nice. But even so, you should not be wanting the physical pleasure of this thing. Even though you need it, it's okay. You need it. Torah allows you to eat this. Let's eat food is the best and simple example. It's just an example. The Torah allows you to eat this. Very nice. But are you enjoying it? Is it really tasty? No. Food you need. But the pleasure of the food? Who told you need that? And now he says it in Yiddish. Darf nit velen dem vergnügen von den Gashmius. A person should not go after the satisfaction of the physical world, nor dem toyeres von them. You should only search for the utility of that, like nutrients or whatever I need to actually sustain my body. That's fine, I need that, and I'm going to eat it. But the Fargenigen, he says, like the satisfaction you have out of eating this particular thing? No. Who told you that's allowed? No. He brings an example, like eating and drinking. Ein tzarich lechafetz ve'atainugim shebaze. You don't need to, you shouldn't want the pleasure out of that. Ki im, rather, only hatoyelet shebaze. Sheyuchal avodes boidoi bekoyach achilo ahi. Only the utility of that, that you will be able to serve your God, your creator, whatever, with the strength that this food gives you. The reality is that God made a human being that needs to eat. He could have done differently, like angels don't eat. Angels are just angels, and they live and they don't have any problems. But he made a human being that needs to eat. That's okay, so we're going to eat because that's God's will, we eat. But the pleasure of the food, who told you that's a human thing? Not necessarily. This is what he's pointing to. And the same thing applies to everything. You have to have an intention in your mind that this is for the service of God. But when a person is only focusing on the benefit and the pleasure of his own soul, and even more so, what is actually beyond what you really need. Because up to here, we were talking about what you need. And even so, even though you need this, don't focus on the pleasure. And now it's going even further. Let's say, what happens with things you don't really need? Like you ate already, and you're satisfied, you have the strength you need, etc. And they brought a tremendous chocolate cake. Wow! This is great! Okay, do you need it? Do you really need it? The answer is no. I'm fine. I just ate all the sugar, quote unquote, that I needed. I'm fine. My body is functioning, but I like it. I really like it. So this is what he's pointing to. Do you need it? No. If you don't need it, forget it. Forbidden. And how much more so if it's just way beyond what you need? You're just doing this to have pleasure. That's the only reason you're doing this. Now, when a person goes after this, after the pleasure, you're actually transgressing the Torah. And this is something really bad, completely bad. At least for some time, until you do tshuva, until you repent, etc. As it's written in the Tanya, in the seventh chapter. Okay, go learn Tanya. This is not a Tanya shiur, so to speak, but whatever. Go learn it over there. You're transgressing the Torah. So in this second chapter, what did we learn? A person needs food? Yes. A person needs to sustain the body? Yes. This is what God wants. This is how he created me. So whatever you need to sustain yourself, go ahead and do it. Eat it. But whatever is beyond what you need, no, you're transgressing the Torah if you go after that. And if you go after the pleasure of that, of course, completely forbidden. Even what you actually need, don't focus on the pleasure it generates. Focus on the fact that you need this to serve God, etc., etc. Chapter 3. Behine. Now, Tam v'sivas adavar. I'll translate it in a second. This first phrase in the third chapter is actually connected to the first phrase of the previous chapter. In the previous chapter, he asked, how come a person transgresses the Torah? And they went on with a whole this long, so to speak, description of what you need, what you don't need, the pleasure, etc., etc. And now he goes back to the first idea. Now, the reason why a human being goes and transgresses the path of Torah and mitzvahs, is because there is a seduction, so to speak, of the bad inclination. Yetzerara, shemeisis es ha'adam, seduces the person, ve'oimer loy, and tells the person, ki toiv lefanav davar achil azu. Hey, this piece of food is so good. You don't know, you never tasted sushi from this place. You don't know what you're missing. Or this drink, oh, taste this, you're really going to have a good time. Because this is actually pleasurable for the eyes. He's paraphrasing the verses that the first woman said, that she, when she saw the fruit, etc., of the tree, she said, oh, this is really nice. Okay, so things come through the ears, come inside, so to speak, through the eyes, I'm sorry, and then you start the whole building inside yourself, but this looks so good, and this smells so good, and somebody else told me that this restaurant is so good, etc., etc. As it's written in the seeing of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, the woman saw that this fruit, or this tree, whatever, is good to eat, and it's so nice to the eyes, I see this and it's so nice, etc. And she took, and she ate, and she gave to the man, etc. Asher be'emes, that really, hine apitui shel hayetzer hara shemefates ha'adam leisanek v'tainugim gashmim mechumrim ushtus noira. The truth is, says the Friedrich Rebbe, that this seduction, that the bad inclination seduces a person to have pleasure in physical pleasures and ordinary things, chumrim is like very ordinary things, it's a very, very big stupidity, shtus noira, terrible stupidity. Why? Because even if a physical thing, if a material thing presents, so to speak, pleasure, is this, like a rhetorical question, it's going to explain pretty good. Is this the good that a person should project to? A human being is Bechir and Ibrahim, is the highest creation in the world, the highest thing that God created. So a person should, even if you're going to tell me that this food is so good, so pleasurable, do you really, should you really look for this, for the pleasure of the thing? Like, who are you? What are you? So he's going to explain. The Adam Nivdal Mikol HaNivraim, a human being, and to be honest with you, he doesn't say it, but I strongly believe he's not talking about Jews only. Definitely not. Definitely not. But he doesn't say it because his public were Jews, so he didn't need to like explain anything. Why should I explain? Okay, the Adam Univdal Mikol HaNivraim, human beings are really separated from all other creations. On what? How do you see that? Bazeshu kolul me'elyonim v'tachtonim. In this fact that is included, so to speak, composed of higher things and lower things. What does that mean? The agam de gufoi hu chumri, even though his body is really a material thing, aval nishmasa yu madrega yitzir elyonim, but his soul comes from a very high place. Ve'ayifem briyasoi hu de oir v'chayis ha'nefesh mislavesh b'pnimiyusoi ve'ayifem sheyuch aliyis ha'nibra agvar, I'm sorry, atzura l'chayimah. And the way a human being is created is that the light and the strength, the force, light force, life force of the soul invests itself, pipnimiuso, really inside of a person, in a way that there could be a strengthening of the form over the matter. It's like a very famous philosophical concept, form, matter, whatever. Hasidus talks a lot about this. And he's not going to explain because this is not the main thing of the Maimar. But there is such a thing as form goes over the matter. Imken, that and again, the continuation is, the Rebbe is saying, look, a human being is not a regular or whatever type of creation. No. It's a very special thing. Why? Because it's composed of higher things, spiritual, whatever they are, and lower things. Of course, the body comes from the earth, etc. That's what the Torah says. Fine. Okay. Why is it created like that? Because that gives us the strength to overcome materiality. Otherwise, we would have been created just from material world, earth, just like the rest of the creation, and that's it. No problem. And I behave like an animal. That's fine, because you're just like an animal. No problem. No, says God. Or the mime, or whatever. No. Even though your body is like the animal, that's fine, but I put inside of you something special that nobody else has, no other creation has. You have it. And that gives you the strength to overcome materiality. Let's see. In Ken, if this is so, that you have that strength and you have this special high thing called soul, whatever, Haim ha-toiva gashmi zehu ha-toiva sheri ibchar boi b'chir ha-nibraim, are you going to tell me that the material goodness, that's the goodness that the chosen between all the creations, the highest creation, should actually choose? A human being should go after material things. Hey, you have something inside of you which is much higher, incredibly higher, like no comparison at all, infinitely higher, and you're just focusing on this? What are you doing? Now, now let's talk about pleasure. There are different types of pleasure. It's not just black and white pleasure. No. Let's take the pleasure of a food that is sweet. Orev and masak is like basically the same idea. Sweet to the, not the tongue, the part of the on top of the mouth, whatever. This is a sweet thing. Really nice, really sweet. Whatever you can think of, you'd really like, this is what we're talking about. It's a pleasure thing, yes? This is the lowest pleasure around in world. The lowest thing, lowest thing. Okay, again. בדרך כלל, התיינוג בעניין גשמי מגוף לי, זהו התיינוג בהי ממש. Same way, just as this food that is so nice, so good, the same way, every single physical pleasure, every single single material pleasure, it's a pleasure of an of a type of animal pleasure, literally talking. Like, if you give an animal something that the animal doesn't like, he's not going to eat it. He's not going to eat it. Hey, but it's good food. No, forget it. I don't like it. Shabehima, nimshechis achar dvarim latoivim v'arevim lefitiva. The animal goes after things that are good and sweet according to its nature. It's not going to eat something that is not good for her, for the animal. No way. Ve'eina yedas mitoiv acher. Ki im mi'atoiv hazeh, ve'acharav nimshechis. And the animal doesn't know about any other good things. And she just projects after, you know, whatever she thinks is good. Like, try give a medicine to an animal. If the medicine doesn't have mixed in good taste, never is going to take it. Forget it. Never is going to take it. Doesn't smell good. Doesn't look good. Doesn't taste good. Forget it. So the doctors, whatever, the doctors that deal with animals have to put, you know, good taste. So the animal takes it. He doesn't know that this is really good for you because it's going to cure your sickness. Nah, I don't care. Therefore, in general, this pleasure that is a physical pleasure, that is a material pleasure, is called animal pleasure. Of course, he's going to continue. We didn't stop. We didn't finish, but he's going to continue. Now, the obvious thing that is pointing to is, okay, are you an animal? Like, hello, you're a human being, and you're supposed to focus on human being things. And now we just explained that anything that is material and generates pleasure, that's an animal thing. Let's go one step further. Up, one step up. Like a sweet voice. It's something a little bit more spiritual, like a nice voice. Oh, this singer sings so nice. I like this voice. The idea of a voice, like a nice voice, it's a revelation of the soul. It's a very deep thing. And the voice arouses very deep intentions and feelings in a person. And there are many, many reasons for this. V'yesh misoyder b'kol simcha. There are different tastes. I'm sorry, not reasons. Tastes. There are different tastes to this. There are people that get aroused by a song, a happy song. Like, very happy, and they start. V'yesh misoyder b'kol otzep. Other people like very, like, slow and bitter songs, so to speak. The bichlolus inyan a coil, are yesh boyarevus mesicus yesh baze oinek. in general, in a voice, could be an instrument also, not just a person singing, there's a sweetness that generates pleasure. Whatever kind of music you like, it generates to you pleasure, no problem. I, for your neighbor, the music you listen is really ugly, I don't care. For you, it's pleasurable, that's fine. That's fine. And it's a level above food, so to speak, above physical things. It's a little bit more spiritual because it's a voice. It's a sound. It's a little bit more spiritual. Okay. Let's go one step up. It's the pleasure in emotions. Like the goodness and the kindness you do with somebody else. You do something good for somebody else. There's an incredible pleasure to the person that does the good deed. You really feel good. I did this, and I'm conscious that this really helped. And this is so good, and people are happy. I'm happy also. It's a pleasure. It generates pleasure. The isha toiv v'chesed shehu nediv nodiv betivoy, a person that does good and kind and is kind, that is actually giving himself. By nature, his nature is to give and to etc. Hine kasher oyse toy vechesin zulatso you misaling with that. Betanu godel, when this person does good and kindness with somebody else, he's really having pleasure in a good sense, incredible pleasure. And this is a little bit higher than just a voice or instrument, whatever. So what did we learn in this chapter? In this chapter, he went back to the question: how come a person transgresses the Torah? And he answered, look, we have a yetzer hara. We have a bad inclination. And the way of the bad inclination is going to give more details later. The way the bad inclination works is it gives you whatever knows that you like and attacks, so to speak, mainly the idea of pleasure. So started describing the different types of pleasure. And before that, he said, a human being should not focus on material things. Because that's not what he was created for. And he went on and explained different types of pleasure. Eating, like material things, and then he described a voice, and then he described emotions. Okay.